Matthew. Let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew, and it's the 21st chapter where the question is that I would like to consider with you today. The triumphal entry. It's given to us in, I believe, all the Gospels. Okay, let's see where that is that I'm looking for here. Yeah, okay, good. Got it. So Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, and evidently there was a colt with them, full of a donkey. And people were spreading their garments in the way and crying, Hosanna, which means save now. You know, it was time for Jesus to make his move. Everybody felt that way, it seemed. They were looking for him to establish his kingdom here on earth and exalt the Jewish nation once again as God's people. And he didn't seem to have that in mind. And so they were encouraging him and thought that maybe this was the time that he would do that. The time was ripe. And so the multitudes went before in verse 9, crying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord! And they waved their palm branches, and as I say, they strewed their garments in the way and made a path for the donkey to follow. And when he was come to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And then he went into the temple, and he cleansed the temple once again. As you read the Gospels, you get the understanding that at the beginning of his ministry and also toward the end of his earthly ministry, he cleansed the temple both times. Many similarities, but there are some differences that would indicate that. And then it says, when the chief priests, verse 15, and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Sore displeased. That means they were so displeased that it hurt, right? Sore. And he said, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said, Now here's the question. Yea, have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? Have you never read that? I guess their answer would be, yes, we have read that. But they certainly didn't understand what God had in mind when he inspired those words. Jesus was quoting from Psalm 8. Let's turn to Psalm 8 and find out where that word comes from. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. You'll see a difference there, and I want to make note of that difference. It may be that Jesus was quoting from the Septuagint version, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. But here in Psalm 8, it says it a little bit differently, doesn't it? Have you noticed? Verse 2, who can read that for me? Who can read it out of the King James? Because it has a little different emphasis there. Brother Dale?
Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger.
Okay. Now you see the difference. One translation says praise, and one translation says strength. And I guess that's because the Hebrew word or the Greek word in the Septuagint carries both of those meanings. You know, these Hebrew words are, it's pregnant a bad word to say, I don't think so, but just full of meaning and different shades of meaning. And that's why when they translated from one language to the other, some leaned one way and felt that the word praise should be used, that was appropriate. And then others felt that it was legitimate and right to use the word strength. But the Lord chose these words with these various meanings, I believe sometimes, because one word did not give the full understanding of what God was trying to convey. Here he wanted us to understand that it's through praise that we receive strength. that praise and strength go hand in hand. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained praise. Quoting from Psalm 8, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength. And we see that connection, that when I praise the Lord, God strengthens me in my inner man. We're told that we need strength in the inner man. We've sung some songs about, I noticed in a number of songs, I'm weary. You see how weary I am. You see how tired I am. You see how worn I am because of the trials I've been through. And the appeal is, Lord, I need new strength. I need to be revived inwardly. I need to be encouraged. And the Bible makes it clear to us that one way to get the strength of God into our souls is to praise Him. We heard about praising the Lord in the house, right? I've heard other stories like that where people would walk through the house, through their rooms, just praising God, praising God. And as they did, God drove away the shadows. God encouraged them. He brought them out of their depression, and He gave them new strength to serve Him. And so if you ask the Lord to strengthen you and you feel you need strength to live the Christian life, if you need strength to get through that trial, then do what God says. Praise Him. Praise Him. You know, I think in every meeting when we praise the Lord, if God leads us to praise the Lord in a meeting, leads the minister to direct the meeting that way, I think we should always enter in. I'm sure we should. God, we should open our hearts. Some people listen to other people praise the Lord. They like the way it sounds, and they get a blessing just sitting there hearing other people praise God. But that's not going to strengthen your soul. You need to get strength from God yourself. You need to praise Him. And some people say, well, I'm more of a quiet person, and that's just not my style. Well, your style is going to hinder you from getting all that God has for you. You need to learn. You know, some of you people, that it's not your style to praise the Lord out loud in meetings. It's sure your style to make a lot of noise outside a meeting. I've noticed that. Good noise. We get excited about baseball games and all these things, and I think that's something of a poor comparison. But, you know, we can get excited and lift our voices and express our emotions, and we don't care what other people think. That's my team, And if you know, there's something wrong with you if you're not behind them. But when it comes to worshiping the Lord Jesus and exalting Him, well, you know, I'm kind of a quiet person when it comes to church and praise. I'm not comfortable with that. Well, we need to do something about that. I remember when I first began to learn to praise God as a young person, it was awkward at first. I felt a little uncomfortable. But somehow, you know, we were taught this was the right thing to do. We're commanded to praise God. He's worthy of our praise. No matter how you feel, it's not about you. It's all about Him. And I remember when I first began to praise, you know, I'd lift my hands, here. And after a while, they got there, you know, and eventually all the way. After a while, as you began to praise God, first quietly, maybe hardly anybody heard you, but when you give yourself to praise, you're getting your eyes off of yourself and you're getting your eyes on the Lord. And as you praise Him and yield yourself in that way, after a while you forget about yourself completely. You forget about the other people, your friends, whether they're praising God or not, whether they're looking at you or not. And you just praise the Lord, and God comes to you and He pours His strength into you and lifts you in your spirit. I say that there are two, at least, well, I knew around the time when I got saved and Jesus made a real change in my life. But another change came into my life when I learned how to praise God and when I started doing it myself. God began to do something new in my life and move in my life in a new way. And He was waiting for me to open that door so that He could give me strength that I needed to glorify His name. In Exodus chapter 15, we read about the children of Israel praising God when they came through the Red Sea. Now, years ago, David Wilkerson preached a sermon that we've referred to a number of times. I'm sure other people may have preached something similar. The right song, but the wrong side. And he spoke about the fact that the children of Israel, before they crossed the Red Sea, all they were doing was complaining and saying, "Moses, did you bring us out here to kill us? Look, the Egyptians are coming to get us. We're trapped by this sea. We're all dead men." And they were complaining. And Moses looked to God, and God showed him what to do. Stand still and see the salvation of God. And he held out his staff, and God sent a wind to blow and spread the sea apart, dry the ground for them. And he held the Egyptians back by the pillar of fire, and they were able to cross on dry ground. And then when the Egyptians went in after them, what drove them to go into that Red Sea and go after those people? I don't know. But then the sea closed up on them, and the next morning they went to the beach, and there they saw the corpses of the Egyptians, and I imagine the horses floating up onto the shore. And then it says, "Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord." Now they were praising him. "I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he hath thrown into the sea." And then it says here, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him." Now we're going to the NIV, because there in the NIV, it says, instead of "I will prepare him a habitation," it says, "I will praise him. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him." So here now again, we see a fuller meaning or intent in the words that are used in the original. We see the word "praise" used in the place of "prepare him a habitation." We praise God that he might strengthen us. He ordains strength through praise. And now we're told that when we praise him, we prepare him a habitation. That reminds us of Psalm 22. Let's look at that. Psalm 22, verse 3. Psalm 22 is the psalm that starts, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And of course, we think of Jesus hanging there on the cross. And Psalm is points us to him. But there in Psalm 22, verse 3, can someone read that for us?
"Thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel."
"Thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." I will prepare him a habitation through my praises. The NIV has two renderings, and one says, "You are enthroned on the praises of Israel." You are enthroned on top of the praises. The idea is that we acknowledge you as our king when we praise you. We acknowledge that you are sovereign, that you are in charge, that you are Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And as I praise you, I prepare a habitation for you. You are enthroned upon those praises. You come to us in our praises. You inhabit them. You live in them. How often when we praise God, we begin to come into a sense of his presence. He comes and inhabits those praises. He dwells in them. And he is enthroned upon them. It's our way of acknowledging that God is in control. That's why we praise him when things seem impossible, when things are so difficult. We praise him, and in faith we are reaching out to him and saying, "Lord, you are in control. You are over all." And as we do, his presence begins to flow into our lives, and we sense his nearness, and again are strengthened and encouraged thereby. I will prepare him a habitation. Psalm 103, a lot of them are in the Psalms, and there's just a few that I chose out of the many, many commands that we have to praise the Lord. Okay, Steve, can you read that for us? Verse 1 and 2.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's in with me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits.
Okay, we read this the other day when we were talking about healing. But here he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. The word bless here means praise. It's translated that way in other versions. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And then he says, all that is within me, everything, bless his holy name. That certainly indicates that we should not praise God half-heartedly. When we praise him, we need to put our whole heart into it and praise him with all that is within us. Sometimes we have to catch ourselves because we're praising the Lord. Maybe we're singing songs. As we sing these hymns, these are songs of praise. We're praising God through our singing. But are we singing with all our hearts? Are we really thinking about what we're singing? Did we throw our mind into neutral and just mouth the words? You know, sometimes it's like that supermarket music you hear, right? It's playing in the background and you're not paying attention to it, but on the way back home you're singing these, you got these crazy songs coming to you that you never even liked, but they're just there. Subconsciously they have gotten in. And sometimes we can praise him like that. It's, you know, just sort of like supermarket music in the background, not thinking about it, thinking about what we want to buy instead of the music that we're hearing. And when we praise God in a meeting, we ought to think about the words. And that's one thing that I was always impressed with when I came to camp. You know, I was attending an Assembly of God church. It was a good church, and God did wonderful things for me in my life there. But when I came to camp, the way they used that hymn book was different than the way we used it back home. And back home, we had a song leader, and John Mercurio, Andrew knows him well, and he was a good song leader, and he attempted to be led by the Lord, and he really had the blessing and touch of God upon him. But their custom was to just, okay, let's sing this song. Usually it was the first and last verse if the song looked too long. And so there were so many verses to songs that I had never sung. And then we'd sing this song, and then we'd sing that song, and then Sister Tomasi wanted Victory in Jesus, and so we sang that one. And that singing time was over, and now it was time to hear preaching and announcements and whatever else was for the service. And when I came to camp, they started with a song. And then someone would testify, and they would sing a verse from a song. And that verse went right along with what the person was talking about. And it made me pay more attention to the verses. They meant something. And there seemed to be a song for every testimony almost there. And I began to see the hymn book differently. That these are words give expression to experiences and things that we go through in our lives. And so I began to praise the Lord with understanding. And that's what it tells us here in Psalm 47. If you turn back to Psalm 47, it says, praise the Lord with the understanding. Don't just turn your mind into neutral and say, hallelujah, hallelujah. I was in a meeting with Brother Ernie, and it was amusing. They were trying to get the young people to praise the Lord, the leaders, and so they would say hallelujah 10 times, hallelujah, hallelujah. And this was the way they were trying to get them to praise the Lord. Say, praise the Lord 5 times. Say, hallelujah 10 times. And I thought, well, that's a good effort, and maybe that's a good place to start. But we need to really praise him with understanding. When we say, hallelujah, let it come from the heart. I'm exalting you. When I say, thank you, Jesus, let us really, as much as we're able, let it be a real expression of our gratitude to him. When I say, I love you, Lord, and I worship you, let it come from the heart. Psalm 47, verse 7. Who's got it?
For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with kind.
For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises. What did you read, Sister Dorothy? Okay. Well, okay, that's good. Yeah, in the King James, it says with understanding. In the NIV, it says to sing a psalm, praise him with psalms. But the idea here, of course, is that we need to praise him with the understanding. Think about what you're saying. Mean it. Engage your intellect. You know, all that is within me. I have a mind. I have a body. I can praise him with my body by lifting my hands, by standing in his presence, by bowing, by dancing before him as the Spirit comes upon me. But I praise him with my body. I praise him with my soul. I praise him with my mind. I praise him with all my strength. And I do it with the understanding. Praise God. Let's turn to Psalm 149 yet. Psalm 149, it's a good one. Verses 6 through 9. We want to make sure that all of our experiences are based on the Word of God, and that we do what we do because we see it in the Bible. In Psalm 149, someone who hasn't read for us. Joel, you have it? Could you read for us verses 6? Start with 5. 5 to the end.
Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, and to bind their kings with chains, to their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. Dishonor have all his saints. Praise the Lord.
Okay, praise the Lord. Dishonor have all his saints. It says, let them sing aloud upon their beds. Did you do that last night? Did you sing aloud on your bed? I didn't hear you. And I'm sure there's a time and a place for that. We praise him because when we lie down at night, we think of all the goodness of God and his faithfulness throughout the day. We got through another day, Lord. I praise you. And now I'm going to commit myself to you for the night. And Lord, just work in me throughout the night. Brother Eddie, he used to like the way I prayed, because often when he would ask me to pray in Ridgewood, I would say, now Lord, when we go to bed tonight, you know, cover us with your blood and work in us throughout the night. He said, Brother Kenny's going to tuck us in before we leave tonight. that's how he perceived it. But here it says that we ought to have the high praises of God in our mouth and a two-edged sword in our hand. What is that two-edged sword? The Word of God, Hebrews, I think it's the 4th chapter there, that speaks about the Word of God as a two-edged sword. And the high praises of God in my mouth. I just got something else in my mouth. We praise him in accordance with his Word. They go hand in hand. There are more commandments to praise God in the Bible, probably, than any other command. Particularly in the Psalms. Praise the Lord. It's comely. It's fitting for God's people to praise him. And if we don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. God deserves honor and glory and praise. And so, with the Word of God in one hand and the praises of God in our mouth, we defeat the enemies, the spiritual forces that come against us, that try to bring darkness into our lives. We can praise them away by the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through and inhabiting our praises. I told you the story just the other day, or somewhere, people have testified that maybe they saw a vision of dark powers surrounding the meeting and trying to keep the people from getting all that God had for them. And the minister noticed that every time we said, praise the Lord, the powers moved back. And they caught on to that. And so he got the people to praise and praise. And at first they were just so slack, and it seemed so heavy, and they really weren't entering in. But he knew that the enemy was trying to hold them back from breaking through into the glory of God. And so he stood behind the pulpit and he said, let's all stand up and let's praise him. And the people obeyed, and And as they began to praise, then they started getting their hearts into it. He persisted. And each time they praised, the powers of darkness receded until finally the glory of God broke through. And that was a glorious thing and a glorious lesson to learn. And so praise the Lord, especially when you don't feel like it. The enemy's trying to, through your feelings, try to keep you from getting what God has for you. He'll tell you, oh, you're a hypocrite if you praise God the way you feel. You don't feel like praising Him. So what are you? Why are you putting on a show? Why are you pretending? Don't you know that's a trick of the enemy by now? Don't you know that when you think that thing, that's all the more reason to praise God? God, I'm not praising you because I'm worthy. I'm not praising you because I feel that I'm good enough now, or I lived a good life this week or today, so I can praise you. I'm praising you because you are worthy, and because you command me to do so, and you are glorified as I do. And it says here that through this, we execute vengeance on our enemies. We bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. God gives us deliverances from these enemies that have held us captive. When Brother Gardner was director of camp, I heard him more than once tell us we ought to praise God 15 minutes a day, he would tell some people. You're experiencing depression in your life, or there's a darkness, and he said you need to praise God 15 minutes a day. You'll see that if you'll do that for a month, he told one person. He said, do that for a month. And so this first person, he took that suggestion. And he said, I would go up to Nonantum, and I would give God my 15 minutes. And he said, I'd praise him, I'd sing, I'd praise him. And he said, it was so hard, it was so dry, and thank God I got through those 15 minutes. The next day I went up again. And he said, when he got to the end of that month, he said, heaven opened and the glory broke through. And that depression that used to just come upon him just left him. And the light and the glory of God came into his life in a new way. Now, that's not a formula that, you know, like a doctor's prescription, you know, take two pills and call me in the morning. But it is certainly, it's certainly very helpful for us to make a habit of praising God, make it a discipline in our lives, and know that God honors. He will inhabit those praises. He will pour strength into our life. He will bring deliverance against these enemies of darkness that hold us captive. That's what His Word says. If we do our part, God will do His part. We can be sure of that. And so He'll even help us do our part if we ask Him. Lastly, it says here, let everything, in the last verse of the psalm, that whole Psalm 50 is all about praise, isn't it? Praise the Lord in His sanctuary. That's what we're doing here. And in the firmament of His power, praise Him for His mighty acts, according to His excellent greatness, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Brother Bob, Brother Tom, praise Him with the psaltery and harp. That's me. That's my guitar. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Who's that? praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Yes, Lil. Violins, praise God. Loud cymbals, high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And we've all can quote that. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. But just in case you didn't get it, he says, and by the way, make sure you praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. If you have breath, then God gave you breath to praise Him. And don't be happy just listening to everybody else praise the Lord. Make sure you praise the Lord. Oh, there's so much more. We can get into the New Testament now, but we'll stop there. And our staff will praise the Lord because we're giving them some time to recoup before they go back to their duties. But let's sing, praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, in closing. Okay. Number 35 in our Hymn books 35. Let's stand together and let's praise him with the understanding and all that is within us. Bless his holy name. Pray for some that are not well. I know my daughter Natalie wasn't feeling well today, and I saw Kasia looked really tired, and I hear that there have been some in the infirmary that have had fevers and so on. Let's pray that God will touch them this morning, strengthen them, enable them to enjoy their last few days for some of them here at camp this year. Lord, we pray that you will come to those that are not well today, and we pray that you will minister your saving health. We pray that you will touch them. We pray that just by being in the presence of Jesus here on these grounds, that you will minister life to them, Lord. Quicken them, Jesus. Don't let these things run their natural course, but we pray that you will intervene and that you will make a real change, Lord, and that it will be remarkable to us that Jesus has come and ministered his healing touch. Let that warmth that Lily spoke about that comes over us just bring life to them today. And strengthen all of our workers, Lord. We know it's been a long period for them. But, Lord, we pray that you'll give them new strength to help them to finish their course here with great joy and victory. We commit ourselves to you, Lord. Keep us under your precious blood this day. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Thank you.